Managed care was supposed to hold down health care costs. For a while, it seemed to be doing just that. But healthcare inflation is back. Increases could hit double digits this year. Critics say that proves managed care has failed. NPR's Julie Rovner reports on what went wrong and why.
A little over a decade ago, managed care was touted as healthcare salvation. Today, says Princeton University health economist Uwe Reinhart, it's seen as more of a plague.
The politically correct verdict on the 90s is that outer space came some evil people that were sent there, like God sent locusts on the Egyptians, somehow to punish Americans for something, and these bad people were called managed care people.
For most of the 1990s, those managed care people ran health care in the United States, but in recent years, their clout has been waning. Some even say the era of managed care is over. The basic idea of managed care is for a single organization to both deliver and pay for medical services. That's unlike traditional health insurance, where individual doctors and hospitals provide the care, and then insurance plans pay for it. In theory, combining the two functions makes it easier to control what services are provided and at what cost. Lawrence Casolino is a physician and assistant professor of health policy at the University of Chicago. He says the original model assumed HMOs and other managed care plans would both improve quality and appropriately contain costs.
Trying to make sure that physicians didn't provide and hospitals didn't provide services for patients that were unnecessary and not only would cost money, but possibly harm the patients.
But that's not how things developed. Old line HMOs like Kaiser Permanente continued to use the original model, which stressed preventive care and close management of services. But they were soon overtaken. Big insurance companies rushed to set up their own HMOs. Casolino says these plans focused less on saving money by improving care and more on saving money by lowering payments to doctors and hospitals.
The model more was about getting as large as possible to negotiate discounts from doctors and hospitals. In other words, to have the market power to say, you know, here's what we're going to pay you, and if you don't accept this, you're not going to be able to see any of our patients.
Casolino says that worked for a while, but then healthcare providers responded, and they used the same tactic the health plans were using, consolidation.
Hospitals especially, and to some extent physicians, also tried to create larger and larger organizations in order to have the market power to negotiate back.
Managed care might have been able to settle its differences with healthcare providers, but Princeton economist Reinhart says the industry really got into trouble when it began to push around its patients.
They also did unbelievably clumsy things, like kicking mothers out of bed after the first day after a delivery. Clinically, that may be acceptable, but from a point of view of a consumer, this lady is, after all, a consumer of healthcare, it was politically very dumb.
It also helped fuel a furious consumer backlash. Just how angry the public was became clear in 1997 with the release of the movie As Good As It Gets. Audiences across the country cheered loudly this exchange between Helen Hunt, playing a waitress, and her asthmatic son's doctor.
Okay, and how about skin testing for allergies?
No.
No standard scratch test? They poke them with a needle?
No, I asked. They said my plan didn't cover it and that it wasn't necessary anyways. Why, should they have?
Well,
f***ing HMO, f***ed pieces of shit.
Carol.
I'm sorry.
Okay, actually, I think that's their technical name.
Both the consumer and provider backlashes against managed care resulted in changes that made it harder for plans to control costs. Unhappy consumers got state legislators to pass hundreds of bills that limited how managed care plans could control costs. At the same time, newly enlarged groups of providers successfully negotiated higher rates. But most health experts agree that what really doomed managed care in the 1990s was the surprisingly strong economy. That's because employers call the shots in the U.S. health system. They pay most of the bills. Economist Robert Reichauer of the Urban Institute says that with profits soaring, employers were much less worried about health inflation than about keeping workers happy.
Most importantly, the labor markets got very tight, and consumers didn't want restrictions on their choice of providers or limitations on their health care in any way, and employers had little reason to impose those restrictions. And so employers really backed off, gave managed care plans a lot more latitude to please the beneficiary rather than constrain costs.
Pleasing beneficiaries meant developing much less restrictive forms of managed care. Plans like PPOs let patients go to almost any doctor or hospital and have at least some of the cost covered. But those looser plans made it harder still to control costs. Reischauer isn't at all surprised that health spending is again rising rapidly. Back in the early 1990s, he predicted that managed care would save money in the short term, but over a longer period, health inflation would re-emerge.
Because the underlying forces really relate to the increasing capacity of medicine to provide treatments and diagnoses for diseases, and those treatments and diagnoses and tests, in fact, are very expensive, but the American people want them.
University of Chicago Professor Casalino also isn't surprised that managed care hasn't solved the cost problem, but he has a different reason. He says that what most health plans have been doing over the last decade isn't really managing care.
A Western reporter once asked Mahatma Gandhi, said, Mr. Gandhi, what do you think of Western civilization? And Gandhi said, well, I think it would be a very good idea. And I would say the same thing about managed care in the sense in which reformers originally regarded it. It would be a good idea, but it really hasn't been tried.
Which raises the question of whether real managed care will become more widespread. So far, that's not happening. The trend at the moment, says Casalino and others, is towards giving patients more choices, but making them pay more, too.
A few health plans have even started to say, if you want to be admitted to such and such a hospital instead of the other hospitals in our network, that's fine, but you'll have to pay maybe a couple of $100 copayment for that admission.
So now both consumers and employers are paying more. And Princeton's Reinhardt says we have only ourselves to blame.
Here you sit with premium increases of 15%, 40 million uninsured, not much quality control of any sort, and you, the patients, basically, by your behavior, and you, the employer, and you, the politician, you asked for this, and now you got it. Enjoy it.
Whether or not managed care is dead, economists agree that it hasn't been a total failure. Much unnecessary care, particularly expensive hospital care, has been squeezed from the system. But that was what economists call low-hanging fruit. The real challenge will be controlling costs from here forward. And so far, no one's figured out how to do that without making someone unhappy. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.